This one's good if it goes.
Oh, it did. Holy
cow.
Are you kidding me?
Let's it go.
He can fry an egg on his head right now. I mean, the guy's sizzling.
Because you got hope for a dramatic 40.
Oh, boy.
Oh, they got it. Jones. Oh,
yes.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dukich, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Emergency edition of the world's greatest podcast, known as Courtside with Greenberg and Dukich. Obviously, the story of yesterday, Mike Krzyzewski saying that he'll be stepping down at the end of this season. A team, by the way, he has a chance to maybe compete for a national championship with, and retire, and that Sean Shire was going to be the new head coach starting 2022 season. D squared, when you first heard news, your first reaction was?
Good for him. I'm a big believer in guys getting out and having great lives. I just talked to a very prominent coach 2 days ago, and he was asking me about those type of things. And I said, look, coaches think that the end-all be-all is, you know, getting big guys to throw a ball through a hoop, when the truth of the matter is, and you're scared to get out. You're really scared. Like, this has been my life, you know, that kind of thing. But you also find out, wait a second, this is pretty good. Takes a minute or two. And I also thought, Seth, our colleagues at ESPN got what they want. They wanted us to care about 18 to 23-year-olds more than the game, more than the brand of the school, more than the coaches. And you're seeing coaches get out. So, you know what? In my way of looking at it, the media got what they wanted. You have a bunch of guys in the media that never really coached, never were head coaches, never dealt with this, but they have all the answers. And those answers are not helping college basketball. Guys like Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski, Lon Kruger getting out is not a help to college basketball. It's not a help to 18 to 23-year-olds. Giving them $10,000, $20,000, everybody thinks is a help. That's great. But those are my two thoughts, Seth. Good for Mike, great for Mike, because here's also what I think, and this is just my way of thinking. No self-respecting adult male should coach college basketball the way college basketball is set up right now, logically. Not saying they shouldn't do it. I'm saying logically, having to, as an adult male, all that most coaches have gone through in their lives to turn back and have to completely, totally acquiesce to the whims of 18 to 23-year-olds and their quote-unquote guys, is with an entire system stacked against doing right things for kids. I'm not so sure logically that makes sense for educated adults to do that job.
All right, I'm going to digest two of these things. I'm going to kind of answer that.
Yeah.
First of all, I think that, look, could Kate continued to coach? Sure. I think, look, 41 years, 5 national championships, could win a national championship this year, 3 gold medals, rebuilding USA basketball, the number of players that whose lives he impacted. Could he have changed with the times? Could he have changed and adjusted to the portal? You do. You're Coach K. You could have changed. Could he have changed with NIL? Probably no one's going to have greater opportunities maybe in NIL than a Duke player. So could he have, but he chose not to, you know. And you know what, after 41 years, you have your right to say, you know what, I've had a great run. I've loved everything about it. I've loved my West Point years. I love my Duke years. I love my players. I love what we've been able to create, the culture. I think the biggest thing is right now, this is me. I'm not speaking for him. This is me. And I'll put it what you said a little differently. I think for certain guys, having a culture and a program as opposed to having a team is important. And in the environment of our game today, it's harder to have a culture and it's harder to have a program because, let's face it, whether it's one and done or players that don't agree with how they're being used and the portal, it makes it easy to walk and it has makes it really difficult to have a continuity. I think there was, and I'm not saying the coaches today aren't like this, I think there's a generation of coaches that got into this thing when, quite honestly, there was no money in coaching. And we didn't get into coaching for money. We got into coaching because we love the game. We love to want to impart what we experienced maybe on to someone else, what someone did to us. I mean, that's kind of the biggest thing. I can still remember sitting at Five Star listening to UB Brown talk and just mesmerized, not just by the X's and O's, but just his messaging. And like, he impacted me that day. And that's why I wanted to coach, my high school coach. That's why I wanted to coach, the impact that he had on me. So I think that, you know, there is a generation of coaches that made a lot of money, but didn't get into for money. The money found them. I think Coach K stepping down, I think, you know, that's his prerogative. And I, like you said, I'm happy for him. And, you know, it's funny because I talked to Izzo the day before the whole thing came down. He said they were on a conference call with that group of 10 coaches that Tom talked about earlier in the week on our podcast. And he said, you know what, Mike just sounded a little bit different, that he wasn't happy with – he didn't say the portal or the NIL. He just said that the game, you know, the game wasn't in a good place. In terms of, you know, where it was going. And look, I think he could have had as much success as he's having now in the portal with NIL, but he chose not to. And I think that's great for – and that's great for him. The where I would disagree with, yeah, like what's going on is difficult. But guys, you know what? Guys are going to navigate it, and they're going to be guys that aren't going to change. Jay Wright's probably not going to change. He's going to coach his team, and he's going to get guys that, you know, certain guys will buy in, certain guys won't. Tom Izzo's going to coach his team. Matt Painter, I think, is going to coach his team. And then when those two kids left last year, Purdue, Matt Painter said, that's fine. We'll get guys, and we'll coach our team. We'll figure it out. And I think figuring out is kind of what Izzo said. I think the biggest thing for both of us, there are, as Tom said, I thought it was a great phrase, unintended consequences. All these changes that are being made, there are going to be unintended consequences, and we're going to have to deal with it, and we're going to see where the game is 10 years from now. But I'm happy for Mike. I think he's going to have a heck of a team this year. I think that the farewell tour is something he said he didn't want. I don't know if he wanted or didn't want, but I think it'll be great before games in terms of everyone will, you know, blow kisses and send – balloons and all that. And then once the ball goes up, he's the evil empire and he's Duke, and they're going to try to kick his ass, and the fans will be as crazy as fans always will be when Duke comes into your arena. So I think it's an interesting thing because it's going to be Roy, Kay, eventually Larrañaga, eventually Boeheim, who knows what Izzo. It's going to be a generation of coaches that basically help create a culture. Let me ask you this, 41 years. Will there be another guy at a place for 41 years?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not
years? You think a guy will be in place for 41 years? Holy. That's no, a lot.
I'm going to answer a couple of things you said. Number one, I get that guys could adjust. I do. I get it. I get the money's great, and I get we're always going to have coaches. I'm just saying logically, the gate, it doesn't make sense that – and this is what people say. Everybody's answer is, well, you know, they make a lot of money. It's great. You know, I mean, look at the economy. Put $1,000 into some kind of thing that doesn't even exist, Dogecoin or whatever it is, and you can make $100,000. So people are making money. I mean, but I think that logically, the way the game, the way it's set up, the concept of team, which is when you Duke's basketball team, it's not called Duke's basketball individual, which is, but that's what it's become. Logically, it doesn't make a lot of sense that you've put all this time and money into these players and they can tell you, hey, look, stick it. I'm going. So it just doesn't make sense for anybody. It doesn't make sense for players. And the answer is always, well, the sky isn't falling. Well, the sky didn't fall the other way. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong at all. I'm just saying that if I, for an adult, somebody that thinks like an adult, logically, this doesn't make sense. To Coach K, if Coach K didn't want to have a farewell tour, then don't have a farewell tour. I mean, you know, simple. Then say I'm, you know, it's like me saying, you know, well, I have a full head of hair. No, I don't. Well, I don't want a farewell tour.
But
no,
you look marvelous right now.
I know I do. But to your point, a whole generation of coaches is going. A new generation is coming in. But here's the thing that I go back to. When you haven't been a head coach, I've talked to three prominent coaches over the last couple of one a couple of days ago, one few before, whatever last week, within the last week. They all tell you horror stories about what happens behind the scenes with administrators. but a lot of stuff behind the scenes that makes this job incredibly difficult and logically doesn't make sense. I've worked my ass off with you for I'm not talking about the guy that gets into coaching now for money and fame, which a lot of guys do now because there is. I mean, let's be honest, there is. I'm talking about the guy, and I still think there's a lot of guys that get into it because they love coaching and they want to impact kids. I really and truly do.
But if now let me ask you that. Speaking of getting into coaching and impact kids, all right, coach in waiting. You know, Duke decided you couldn't have a coach in waiting unless it was someone on your staff. Because, like, say you went outside of your staff. How can that guy be a coach?
Well, they did that at Purdue, and Matt came in and served on the staff for one year.
And what Matt Painter did, I think that's a great lesson for John Shire. If I'm John Shire, you know what I do? I call up Matt Painter and say, what are you doing your year in waiting? Because you know what he did? He recruited his ass off. John Shire is going to be evaluated by his next recruiting class. He's going to be evaluated on whether he can win. Duke assistant coaches overall have not done great. You know, Tommy Amaker, like to me, he would have been a guy I would have pursued. I think the world of Tommy Amaker. Quinn Snyder would have been a guy I would have taken a swing at, just because, I mean, you know, think about the success he's had in the NBA. John Shire is a fierce competitor, hard-nosed kid, very, very bright. You know, could be successful. We'll have Coach K there. And how he utilizes Coach K to me is going to be the key, because Coach K needs to be utilized in recruiting as Coach Emeritus or whatever the title they're going to give him. But John Shire's got to be the voice of their team, because if he's not, every win is going to be, well, you know, Coach K helped him with that. Every loss is going to be John Shire didn't do a good job with his team, didn't motivate his team, they didn't compete, they didn't guard. Like, if they defend next year, the year after, like they've defended the last few years, people are going to forget that Duke had last few years hadn't played as good defense. They're just going to look at it and say, wait a second, you know, the voice isn't the same. So, John Shire, I mean, look, I moved from associate head coach to head coach at Long Beach State, and that's Long Beach State, and the pressure was immense. I couldn't even imagine what it is when you're going at Duke following Coach K with the expectation, with everything that surrounds that program. You can say that he's recruited and had a hand in recruiting Tatum and this guy and that guy. Guys went to Duke because of Coach K and Duke, not Duke and Coach K. So now he's going to be recruiting against guys, all right, that have histories, have won championships, have put guys in the league, all those things. That's going to be a drastic change. And then the job is totally different. As you know and I know, and some people don't know, The amount of people that are pulling at you as a head coach and the responsibilities you have in a 24-hour day are so different as a head coach and an assistant coach. He'll be as good as his staff, and he'll be as good as he understands and manages the day-to-day operation of the program. It's my gut feeling.
To that point, Seth, I saw where Bill has said that it's going to be the most difficult shoes to fill ever in college basketball. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
Like I really think that every fan base has, well, you know, what about Bobby Knight in Indiana? Or what about Wooden back in the day? Okay. Yeah, certainly. But I do think that Jay is spot on with this, because I think Kay was so smart, even though when he got there, he lost. I think he had a vision for what Duke could be as a destination for players. And, you know, Jay came and Allery came and Dawkins came and Amaker came and Mahar came. Yeah. And so, you know, but now what do they always say? It's easier to get to the top than staying at the top. And Kay stayed at the top for so damn long. And Seth, I do agree with Jay that this is the hardest replacement, because Duke, let me ask you this. Did Mike Krzyzewski make Duke, or did Duke make Mike Krzyzewski?
I think it was a great marriage. I'll tell you one thing. You know, Duke made Mike Krzyzewski because if it was in today's culture of college basketball, he would have been fired.
3 years.
He might not have got a year four. He might not have. You never know. But
right.
I think that was a good marriage. I think that the evolution of Duke and the expectation of Duke and the consistency of Duke Mike Krzyzewski created. He created it by, you know, we played him twice a year, sometimes three, unfortunately. Killed my record, a third one just kills you. The one thing about Duke in the years I coached against him is every single night, no matter who they were playing with or where they were playing, they were the same. Fiercely competitive. Like everything we did preseason was to match the level of intensity. I said, we could play as hard as Duke and be competitive for as long as they could be. Like they would be the biggest game in everyone's schedule and they'd go on the road and they'd rarely have an off night. They'd rarely not show up, almost never. I mean, they were always fiercely competitive. And Coach K might kept things real simple. They defended and they were ridiculously talented. But I think it was kind of a symbiotic relationship. That's a big word for me. And I think they fed off each other. But he set the standard. A big West Point thing is the standard's the standard. He set the standard. And once they got to that standard, which was probably year four, probably Bill's senior year or year five, the standard never dropped. That, I mean, he kept them at that standard forever. And that, as you know, is brutal. It is exhausting and brutal.
I want to go back to something because you couldn't be more right. Like most people give in to human nature, right? And we're going to relax and we're going to, but you're right. For 41 years, they never did. The one thing that I would say also about Kay, you had mentioned this earlier, Seth, about he would have adjusted or, you know, to all this. And Seth, I don't think personally anybody in college basketball adjusted more to the game, to recruiting than Mike Krzyzewski. Remember, man, they were passing lane. We're going to deny everything, man. We're going to four passes, blah, blah, blah. Man, that dude, before anybody figured out he and Izzo figured out you got to score 80 points. You got to play fast to draw recruits and win big games in the tournament. And Coach K did that, man. Coach K adjusted. So I have no doubt that he would adjust to whatever college basketball is doing to its game or for its game or against its game or however you want to put it. But I just think that's my, I guess my point.
I say John Shire, head coach at Duke, 5 years from now, you say what?
God. All right. Let's be honest. Do you have to, or does he already know how to navigate money managers, agents, shoe companies, you know, alumni?
Assistants. He's got to have the right assistants. Nolan Smith will be great. Nolan Smith.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Nolan. I just think the world of him. Nolan Smith, do you go and hire Wojo? Who's unemployed right now? Is he, is that KG veteran fiery, or is it, or does he have to do it in his own personality?
But let me, okay, those guys, Wojo has been a head coach and he's, right. He's done that. So I think unless John Shire is the guy that really knows, because am I wrong to say that Duke navigated all of this as well as not better than anybody, those things in college basketball?
Yeah. But, you know, you look at the history of their assistant coaches, all right, and excluding Tommy, you know, I mean, even Quinn. I love Quinn to death, but they had a little issue in Missouri. I think Tommy's the best. I mean, I'm a huge Tommy Amaker fan. I mean,
can I tell you this about Tommy? You talked about marriage. I've talked about it all the time. My stepdaughter goes to Harvard. Mm-hmm. Tommy Amaker in Harvard is perfect, man.
Yeah,
he really, because he's so smart, and he's just kind of, how do I put this? He's not breaking picnic tables or throwing lamps or, you know, he's just
the best.
It's a perfect marriage, and I'm assuming it'd be a perfect marriage to do. But you got Shire. But you got to negotiate all this, and you're not Mike Krzyzewski.
That's the thing.
Yes.
Thor and Kay and Self are following behind you, and Izzo and, you know, whomever else you're going to be recruiting against, McCronin or, you know, whomever it is. I mean, that's not an easy deal to navigate. Hubert Davis, who's going to do – I think Hubert's going to be great.
I think Hubert's going to be great. I think Hubert – but, again, he's got the same thing.
Yeah, but he's got that NBA pedigree. He's fiercely competitive. He's probably got a little bit better network because –
all right, take that. Why does he have a better network than John Shire? Because
a lot of the guys that he played with have probably a sponsor AAU program. Sounds silly. Number two, he's been doing it longer at a high level. He's more identifiable. Like Hubert Davis walks into your living room. Hubert Davis was – that dude was a stud. I mean, he played in the league how many years? Played for the New York Knicks. He played – I mean, think about the teams he played for.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Now, John Scott won a national championship at Duke. I mean, he was a good player. All right? But, you know, it's different. Personally, I'm happy. And we got another Jewish head coach in the ranks. We're taking over.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yeah, you are. Yes, you keep – yeah. I can't argue. I agree with you on Hubert Davis, but he's also following a guy that everybody knew for a long, long time.
Right.
And had that same cachet as, hey, man, Roy Williams coming to practice. Oh, man, Roy. You know, a lot of people, at least initially, hey, John Shire's coming to practice. Now who's that? You know, I mean, I'm
saying. That's what I'm saying. That's 100% what
I'm saying. Same thing with Hubert. Who?
Yeah, but Hubert, he played for the Knicks. Yeah, he did this, he did that.
I'm not saying it doesn't get
his jersey's hanging up in the rafter.
I
got a lot of jerseys in the rafters at Carolina. I might have a jersey.
But I do think they both have the same. You've got your following mega. The expectations are not to, hey, man, like Indiana, Mike Woodson. Let's compare that. Mike Woodson, I swear to you, Seth. Perfect time to take the Indiana job. They'll go crazy if he gets in the tournament.
Oh, unbelievable.
John Shire or Hubert Davis get in the tournament? I don't know.
More pressure on Shire, though, because Duke's competing. You know, I mean, like,
yes,
the perception is, and I'll tell you, in recruiting, I mean, like, right now, Duke's got two lottery picks, that they signed last year. That guy's two lottery picks. So, right? What's your recruiting class? Because if he swings and misses in recruiting right from the get-go, right from the second – what is it, the second week of November? What's the signing period? I forget what it – right from the get-go, then it's going to – whoa, wait a second. And that's why I say he's got to enlist Coach K when they get kids on campus and, you know, I'm going to be here. But then Coach is going to be there. But when that ball goes up in practice, when that whistle's blown, he's got to – it's going to be hard. I mean, it's balancing coach's imprint on it, which is going to be an imprint because he's a disciple, and being to the point where every time something happens, good or bad, people are going to turn to Coach K and, you know, what do you think? And Mike is very smart. He's going to obviously give John his stage. But I think the staff's going to be really, really huge. It's going to be a fascinating year next year.
Yeah, let me ask you this: with Coach K, and give John his stage. John Wooden sat right there, right? John Wooden sat right there on the aisle, 5-6 rows up. I'm going to answer your question about Shire. I think Shire is going to be very successful. I think 5 years from now, Duke. I don't know. He's not going to be a success the way Mike was, but he's going to be very successful. And I'll say the same thing about Hubert Davis. I think Hubert Davis is going to be very successful. Do you think Mike Krzyzewski goes to games?
That's an interesting thing. Because when Tark left Vegas, he went to game set right on Gucci Row, and it absolutely made it almost impossible.
Yeah.
I think that he will go to games inconspicuously.
What is he going to do, Bobby Valentine, put a mustache and a hat on?
Oh, but I don't think he'll be sitting right behind a bench.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, Coach Wooden was in that lower right-hand side opposite the bench.
Yeah, staring you down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it, you know, again, it's a year from now.
Would you?
I don't know. If I was Coach K and had a career yet, I'd be on my own island. I'd be scheduling you in golf, big boy.
Damn right. Hey, that's what I told a very prominent coach the other day. If I had your money, hey, no way I'm doing what you're doing. But, no, I think it's an interesting thing. I think how Kay handles it, and I'm sure he'll handle it with class because he's handled everything with class. Yep. I think how he handles it with John. I also think this, and I'm not sure why this worked out so well. You mentioned Matt Painter. Matt Painter coming from Southern Illinois. And Matt Painter was allowed to go recruit. That's when he got Etwan Moore and Hummel and those guys. All right. John Shire's been a very, very, very important member of that basketball staff, scouting all the stuff that you do. Will he get to what will that be like? I think is interesting coming up. I think that's very interesting.
Well, how is Mike? Is Mike going to throw him in and have him do some post game press conferences? Okay. I'm interested to listen to what Mike says about that moving forward today at 11:30, because I think he can set the tone for all of that today in a lot of ways. Oh,
sad day. I don't care what anybody tells you. NIL, NBA, whatever, one and done. The game losing Lon Kruger, Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski. I'm sure there's others I'm forgetting about. Not a better game without him. Not a better game at all.
I agree with you. Well, we had to do it in emergency pod. Just had to do it. So we're good to go. D squared. Firestone yesterday?
Medina.
Medina was yesterday? You bring it to its knees?
No. Played 36. Then went to dinner downtown Chicago with Benetti and Bart Fox. And I got home at 2 in the morning. You know, drove home.
I got a quick question. When you go to dinner with Benetti, and we'll close it on this, in Chicago, being he's the voice of the White Sox and now an Olympic announcer, there's no way you're paying. I mean, he's got to have me. I mean, like,
you've got it asked backwards. It should be, there's no way he's paying.
He's a big shot.
We went to Chicago Cut, which is sad. Next time you're in Chicago, it's right on the river. Right. Like right in the middle of downtown, on the river above. Benetti's good friend owns it. Let me put it to you this way. It was, you know, I've been reading the Bible here, and the prodigal son returns with the fatted calf and all the ring and the robe. He is the son of the owner because they started bringing stuff. You know what I mean?
I like that. When they stop bringing stuff you don't order, that's when you know it's good.
And that last thing on Benetti, he comes over. He goes, there were some people from Big Ten Network, Mike Hall and Lisa Byington, that we were eating, and Jason went over to say hello. And Jason got stopped by the owner of the Bears, and he could not have been more thrilled that the owner of the Bears said, hey, Jason, how you doing? He was having dinner with his family.
He's so, a big shot.
He's a big guy. He's a wheel.
He can't send me a blank game card, but he's a big show.
Thanks for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. Check out more great podcasts from ESPN on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.